May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of a period of time in the church year we call All Saints' Tide. So we take the opportunity today to celebrate both All Saints and All Souls. All Saints, which is on the 1st of November, is when we remember all those faithful Christians who've gone before us and inspire us through their faith. All Souls, on the 2nd of November, is when we remember those who've died, especially our own loved ones, and we commend them to the mercy of God. And we will have opportunity to do that later in our service. But first, let us think about All Saints. I wonder who comes to mind for you when you think of the saints. It might perhaps be a well-known and much-loved figure like St. Francis of Assisi, the spoilt son of a wealthy merchant who gave away all he had for a life of poverty and humility, following the way of Christ, serving those in need, but also rejoicing in the beauty of the created world. A saint, perhaps, to inspire those of us concerned about the environment. Or we might perhaps think of John Henry Newman, who was made a saint a couple of weeks ago in the Catholic Church. He was a leading priest and theologian of the Church of England in the 19th century, who became a Roman Catholic and then later a cardinal. He left behind a rich legacy in both the Anglican and the Roman Catholic churches and in the ecumenical movement, bridging traditions and bringing the churches closer together. He also engaged not only with the church, but also with the world, the wider society, working for peace and justice. And he wrote poems which were then set to music, and we still sing some of them as our hymns, Lead Kindly Light and Praise to the Holiest in the Height. But although the church may recognise particular people as official saints, in another sense, we are all called to be saints. The letter to the Ephesians, from which we heard in our second reading today, begins with Paul addressing the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. And Paul addresses many of his letters to the saints in that particular place, even though we know that the behaviour of Christians in many of these churches, with their frequent quarrelling and divisions, their arrogance, disorder, and sexual immorality, was something rather less than saintly. If Paul was writing a letter to us here, he would address his letter to the saints at St. Ursula. We are all called to be saints, part of the community of following Christ, past and present. We say in the Creed, week by week, that we believe in the communion of saints. What does that mean? It most certainly doesn't mean that we try to set up contact with the dead in a way that a spiritualist would, through seances, etc. The church has always warned against this and other occult practices. But neither are we as Christians to lose our sense of connection, our relationship to the Christians who've gone before us. In Christ, we have communion with them. They are our brothers and sisters. The communion of saints transcends all barriers of time and space and includes Christians in all parts of the world and those who have lived in a different time from us. Those who have lived before us can inspire us and encourage us in the Christian life. And in some mysterious sense, they are still with us. We are one in Christ. For me, when I think of the communion of saints, I often think of great Christian writers who continue to speak to me through their writings. People like C.S. Lewis and St. John of the Cross. These people feel like my companions, even my friends. Perhaps you will have other great Christian writers or figures from the past that you feel similarly about. But you may also think of ordinary people you have known who have encouraged you in your faith. It's sometimes tempting to think of saints as Christian heroes and heroines, especially when we read about saints who were martyred for their faith. But as I said to the children earlier, there is a difference between a hero and a saint. A hero or a heroine is the central figure in a story. And it's his or her responsibility to sort everything out and make everything come right. A hero cannot afford to fail. But a saint is not the central figure in a story. A saint is a small figure in a story that is all about God. When a saint fails, it can simply reveal all the more the forgiveness and new hope there is in God. A saint doesn't draw attention to themselves, but points away from himself or herself to God. And God is the real hero in the story, and the saint knows that. John Henry Newman, who was recently made a saint in the Roman Catholic Church, knew only too well his own failings and weaknesses, and he often referred to them in his writings. But he also knew the grace of God, and his life and teaching pointed to that. We are not called to be heroes, but to be saints. However, perhaps secretly, we'd much rather be a hero or a heroine than a saint. We want to be important, we want to be the centre of attention, to gain the admiration of others. And if we're honest, we find it hard to be a small character in God's story. Certainly, I think there's a widespread belief today that we, each one of us, can create our own identity. We can govern and control our own individual life stories, and we are the star of that story. There is often very little sense of the bigger story. This is the opposite of the trust of the saints, who they believed were part of something much bigger than themselves. They were part of God's story, called according to his purposes and sharing in the riches of his grace. So perhaps we sometimes have to remind ourselves of this bigger story, of the spiritual riches to be found in God's love, rather than hankering after worldly wealth, position, and influence. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tells his disciples, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man." God's holy people, God's saints, may often be poor and disregarded in the world's eyes, but they are called to reflect something of the life of Jesus and the nature of God, to love their enemies and to return evil with good for God's sake. And although they may sometimes be poor and unimportant in the world's eyes, in another sense, they are very rich because they know their riches in God. Paul emphasizes these spiritual riches when he writes to the saints at Ephesus. He talks about God's purpose in Christ and the rich inheritance they and we have in him. He prays that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? This is not a private inheritance of each individual, pie in the sky when you die, but a communal one among the saints. The Ephesians are reminded of the bigger story of God's purposes, that ultimately his purposes include all things being fulfilled in Christ. In him, all things hold together, as we read in the letter to the Colossians. The hope of all is rooted in Christ and his resurrection from the dead, a hope for the present and for the future, a hope in life and in death. The fundamental quality of a saint is not a holy aura or even acts of bravery or generosity. It is hope and faith in God. The saints trust that God has the bigger picture in hand. Whatever the present circumstances, there is a future and a hope. For one day all things will be restored and made new in Christ, and all of us will dwell in God's presence forever. This is a vision of a future we share with all God's people, all God's saints. So no matter what difficult circumstances we may face as individuals, whether it's health problems or financial struggles, relationship breakdown, or the agony of grief. No matter what fearful uncertainties we face as a world, whether that's terrorist threats or the terrible consequences of climate change, we should not despair, for in God there is a future and a hope. And we are called to live, pray, and act as people of hope now, in the present, in our families, our communities, and the wider world. Our hope is based on Jesus Christ. We can know what Jesus has done for us in the past. We can know his presence with us now through his Spirit, and we can look in hope to the future to which he has called us. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was raised from death to life, is the centre of God's story. A story much, much bigger than the story of our own individual lives. And it is a story we share with all the saints. Those of faith who have gone before us remind us to look away from ourselves to God, to find hope, our hope and our future in him, in this life, in death, and beyond death. So let us trust ourselves, those we love, and all of God's world to his mercy. Amen.